Hey there, wine aficionados. We're going to take a trip today north of Napa Valley into Lake County. Today's podcast could be a tantalizing learning experience as we venture out on the wine road. Lake County, California is further from the coast than Sonoma and even Napa Valley, and it's not unusual for it to reach beyond 110 degrees in the summer, but can manage to cool down to the 50s, even 40s at night, which allows them to focus on Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Tempranillo, Malbec, Syrah, and Petit Syrah. And they make some big, bold, beautiful blends. And because it's an up-and-coming wine region, prices can be considerably lower than Napa Valley, yet equal in quality. They are consistently scoring 90 points and higher in respectable magazines. My wife and I traveled there the first weekend in October. It's a bucolic area with stunning views of Clear Lake, the largest lake in California. During our visit, I sat down with winemaker Matt Hughes at Brassfield Estate Winery. Boy, what a beautiful property and facility that is. It backs up into the hills that contain many of their vineyards, with more to be planted. Owner Jerry Brassfield used the property as a cattle ranch and wildlife preserve dating back to 1973.
Yeah, this property's been in Jerry Brassfield's family for quite some time. And it really wasn't until Jerry noticed the vineyards springing up in the area that he decided to, you know, really go for it, put some vineyards in. And, you know, you can't stop with a vineyard. You have to build a winery as well. And so he's been working on that. I think it was 2001, really, when he decided to officially launch Brassfield.
Yeah. Had the cattle business been changing at all? Was there a reason? It's like, well, maybe I'm done with this. It's been a long time. You know, it was 20 years or so.
Jerry had some experience in the wine industry. He'd been involved in a Pinot Noir winery down in the Santa Cruz Mountains before. And I think, you know, he's always just been a wine drinker and a wine fan and wine lover. And, you know, I think right around the year 2000 in Lake County, you know, a lot of people began to realize, hey, the vineyards up here are doing really well. People down in Napa and Sonoma are buying the grapes. And why wouldn't it be cool to start brands and wineries and tasting rooms right here in Lake County? And I sort of look at it as sort of the, you know, second revolution of Lake County's wine industry, given the fact we had 39 wineries here in the county prior to Prohibition, and we've just recently returned to that level.
Right.
So that really all kind of started to spark around 2000, 2001. So
yeah, it only took 90 years, huh?
Yes, exactly. Don't call it a comeback, but you probably could.
Right. I think you kind of answered this question, but I was going to ask you, what inspired Jerry to build this beautiful Mediterranean villa that he has here? And I guess it was, well, we're going to have people coming by for wine. Let's build a really nice property.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, Jerry really puts his heart and soul into everything that he does, and that's, I think, evident here. But most of all, Jerry's attachment to the property here is really centered around its natural beauty. You know, he's just a real big fan of nature and, you know, loves the property and thinks it's beautiful, which it is. And, you know, we have a little lake here. It's called Lake Serenity. And there's about, I think it's about 1,000 acres of wilderness preserve on the property as well. So you don't really want to disturb the beauty with some intrusive wineries, you know, so it's nice to have some buildings that do it justice and fit into the setting. So.
Yeah, with a couple of palm trees and the oak trees and other various trees they have out front, the building definitely just disappears into the foliage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sits right here in the valley floor of High Valley, AVA. So we do actually, it's at one of the few places in Lake County we actually have some fog. So it does kind of nestle into the valley really well and kind of blend in with the surrounding hills and things like that. So it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, where you have the vineyards is it's an interesting property for that because you are in the High Valley. So even though you feel like you're low, it's 1,800 feet. And then we see vineyards up as high as 3,000 feet. So you definitely get heat here, I imagine, but also a lot of the cooler temperatures. And I think I read that it's some of the coldest temperatures in California.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the temperature swings up here are quite wild. It wouldn't be uncommon to have triple digits, for instance, towards the beginning of harvest in terms of heat. And on those same days, I mean, I've seen 105 degree high with a 55-degree low, within 24 hours. That's, really incredible and I think pretty unique to this area. It's, driven by the elevation, of course, that you mentioned, 1,800 feet and then going up from there in the valley. And we really don't overall get the coastal fog, but we get the upper marine layer kind of skirting across the top of the hills up here. And that really drives the big diurnal shifts up here. So, a lot of sunlight, but also a lot of diurnal changes.
Yeah. And some of the vineyards enjoy that. They like the heat in the day and the cool temperatures. And then you have this volcanic ridge too. So you have some vineyards there that really have to struggle with the sand and the pebbles. And but that gives it such character and complexity.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall you can say certainly about High Valley, but Lake County in general, the two main features of the area are really the elevation and the volcanic soils. There are not too many places in the U.S. and where you actually have recent volcanic activity, and I'm talking about 10,000 years ago. I mean, I remember it well.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't seem like that long ago, does it?
No, it's in terms of dirt, it's not very long, a long time. So 10,000 years is the most recent volcanic activity in this area for sure, and that really has a big impact on the wines. We have, as you mentioned, the other side, the east side of High Valley, we have a volcanic cinder cone that was a mountain that basically blew its top off and created a lot of the soils that we see up here. But we also have Franciscan soils here too, so it's a really diverse valley. We're on the other side of the lake, Red Hills area, people might be familiar with. That's pure volcanics. Over here we have a big mix of volcanics and Franciscan.
Wow. Yeah. What varieties, out of curiosity, are growing up on the volcano ridge?
Yeah, Volcano Ridge is really driven by what I call the Med Reds and a few friends. So you have over there Syrah, Mourvèdre, Grenache, those things, Petite Syrah, of course. But we did also plant Malbec and Cabernet and a little tiny bit of Zinfandel over there as well. And so all those grapes really play together quite well. They kind of have the same sort of theme in their flavor profiles. I would say they're driven by that volcanic terroir, if you will, and, very intense, bold, bright fruit characters, but a lot of structure behind them, almost kind of a gritty power to the wine. So we actually do blend most of those grapes together, not necessarily Cabernet in that blend, and we call that blend Eruption, named after the volcanic cinder cone. So that's a pretty fun one.
It just sounds like something that is just going to be bursting with flavor.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of chewy as well.
Yeah, no, it's aptly, described by the name, and you get what you think you're going to get when you open the bottle. So it works pretty well for sure, and it's just kind of a fun name.
I don't think I've ever had Grenache from that type of soil, so I'll be interested to try that.
Yeah, the Grenache is really great. It wants to go, it wants to go backwards in terms of its reductive capacity. So it's a really tannic, strong Grenache, even though it's a light-bodied wine. So we have to give it a lot of love in the winery to really bring it around. It needs a lot of zhushing, as some people would say,
Give it a lot of attention.
Exactly, a lot of attention. It's
compliments.
Very high-maintenance Grenache, high maintenance Grenache.
You'd like to hope that the high-maintenance Grenache would produce some lovely wine. I mean, it's only fair. We'll talk more about Brassfield's wine, including an impressive accolade, when I continue with winemaker Matt Hughes on the Wine Road. Hi, this is Jeff. Thanks again for listening to my podcast. If you're like me, you enjoy a number of podcasts. Some of my favorites are produced by Radiotopia and released by PRX. Recently, all of their podcasts participated in a fundraising. And that's essentially what I'm doing as a member of Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/onthewineroad, you'll see a video I produced explaining how it works. For as little as $5 a month, you can join my wine community and ensure that I can continue producing interviews with the industry's fascinating people. Most of us in this competitive podcast world don't get paid for our time. And believe me, traveling each week to record these interviews takes a lot of time. When you have a moment, look up patreon.com. That's patreon.com/onthewineroad. Thank you. I appreciate your time and considering signing up. Now, back to today's podcast. In the first segment, we were discussing their varietals, and Cabernet Sauvignon grows well in Lake County. As a matter of fact, this year, Brassfield received 98 points and a Best of Class Award for their 2014 Cabernet Sauvignon during the North Coast Wine Challenge. That challenge includes Sonoma and Napa counties, so that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you. That wine has been doing really well for us. I think Cabernet is a rising star up here in Lake County, and you know, we're counting on that, and so are a lot of other people, but the proof is in the bottle, as they say, and I think that's starting to show. And you know, what Andy Bechstoffer has been doing up here, as well as some other people, is really starting to bring Cabernet along. It's, I think, going to be, you know, considered, this is, you know, the North Coast, and so it just makes sense. I think it's going to be considered one of Lake County's main varietals, of course, alongside Sauvignon Blanc, which has always been a big standby for us, something we do really well. And it's that whole combination of intense heat and cold nights that get the Sauvignon Blanc really fruity but retain acidity. So it's, you know, for me, California-style white wine. We're not trying to make a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc up here, and we can't, and we won't. But we make really great, you know, California white wines, and I think those are going to be a fun thing to watch. We have a big Pinot Gris project coming here that I'm excited about, the same sort of genre. And
well, I know Tempranillo grows really well up here. Are you doing any Tempranillo on the property?
Yeah, we do have a few acres of Tempranillo growing up here on one of the hillsides. That's been one of the wine club favorites. You know, and here we do, I would say, basically five wines that get widely distributed here at Brassfield. And then we do a lot of one-offs and small production wines that are here in the tasting room. Tempranillo is one of those. That's a fave.
What is your production like?
So we are in total right around 30,000 cases. So it's, and it is a mix, you know, between the Eruption, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris. We actually do Pinot Noir up here, which a lot of people are surprised about. Between those wines, it's sort of the bulk of the production. And then, yeah, I can't even count how many small production wines in the 200 to 300 case range we do, but it's quite a few.
Yeah. Well, looking at your background, I saw that you were at Six Sigma. And they have a Pinot Noir vineyard there, which is also seems very surprising because it's just out there in the middle of the heat. And they, for some reason, it grows very well there. So you have some experience with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing for me to have gone from between the two places in Lake County, that the only two that have Pinot planted, to keep that trend going. So I don't know if they hired me here because of my experience with the 2-acre Pinot vineyard over at Six Sigma or not. But we have a few more acres here, and it's a bigger part of the program. But it's an interesting grape to work with in a warm climate. I call it mountain Pinot Noir. It's not coastal, it's mountain Pinot Noir, which means it has more of a backbone. It's a little bit more introverted, can get kind of earthy and spicy, which is really nice. And, you know, a lot of people will taste it, and they're surprised by the fact that, A, they like it, and, B, that it's just really unique. And you'll find it on wine lists, I think, sometimes for that reason. Mm-hmm. So,
tell us about the other places you've worked here. You've been up in this area for a little while now.
Yeah, I came originally came from Chicago, the Chicago area, actually, out to California to start a career in the wine industry. I studied fine arts in Chicago, and therefore naturally became a waiter after that, and decided that I really wanted to get into wine when I was working in a few restaurants in Chicago that had amazing wine programs, and just became enamored with it and thought, well, this is really cool. I'm going to pack up my bags and come out to California and get involved, and just sort of ended up here in Lake County. And so my career started here. I started working on a bottling line at Wildhorse Vineyards in Kelseyville. That was my first job, packing the cases and learning how to drive the forklift. And I was fortunate enough to get a harvest internship at Kendall Jackson, when their facility here in Lakeport, which is the original Kendall Jackson winery. And
right.
And ended up from that harvest internship staying with the company for 7 years, and wound up working at Verite on Chalk Hill Road, actually down in Sonoma County, with Pierre Seon there for 3 years. And so he was my big mentor in the wine industry, and took me out to the vineyards and you know, I kind of knew some of the science and all that things, but he showed me the art of making wine. Yeah. So,
yeah, see, I was going to say, making wine is a fine agricultural art. So you're still in fine arts.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I always tell people, and the story is harder to tell every year because I have to talk about photography before the advent of digital photography. But, you know, in photography, you might have this amazing image that you, in your mind, you want to create or you see through your camera, but you could never develop it unless you had the darkroom skills and the chemistry to kind of put it all together with. And that people used to understand that, not anymore. Right. Now you have an app for that, so it's right, a little different.
Yeah. But I just Instagram.
Yeah, that's a great analogy for us older folks. If you go to Lake County for a wine tasting trip, be sure to put Brassfield on your list. It's a gorgeous property and tasting room. I noticed on Brassfield's website, their consulting winemaker is David Ramey, who has quite a reputation in Northern California.
Yeah, David's been really cool to work with. It was amazing that, you know, coming here is sort of like an extra bonus to be able to go down there and pick his brain and talk about wine and learn from really one of the greats in California. So that's been an amazing thing for me. And, it's been fun. I think the previous winemakers here at Brassfield have sort of played more of a assistant winemaker role and worked with David, and I had a bigger history coming in, so it's been like being a musician and working with a producer is sort of the way that David and I have been tasting together. But it's been a real privilege. So
I'm sure he could be considered to be on like the George Martin, Rick Rubin level.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think Rick Rubin's probably not far off descriptor. But you know, it's great. It's the beauty of the relationship is, you know, we don't always see eye to eye, but that's what keeps it fun.
Yeah. Do you think someday the Lake County Appellation will have the reputation that will rival Napa and Sonoma?
I think Lake County's reputation is always gaining, you know, year in, year out, and we get, you know, an award here or there, and people take notice, or, you know, more people know about the region in general just out in the marketplace. And we're still really small in terms of the wine world of how many cases come out of Lake County. I don't know the exact number. So it's harder to make a big dent with a small production. But the word's out, and I hope what really happens is I hope Lake County develops a reputation for being Lake County. You know, in the beginning, I think a lot of it was comparisons. Is it the, you know, I hear a lot of this, you know, is it the next this, the next that, you know, looking at other places and saying, is Lake County following in their footsteps? And I hope we just really become our own region with our own styles and, you know, our own signatures and things, and that gets recognized. So,
yeah, when you hear there's, you know, I heard it today, and I was like, oh, that's right, there's only like 30 wineries up here, as you mentioned earlier, and it seems like it's bigger, there's more here, but it's still, yeah, kind of small, but spread out, too.
Yeah, it's the bulk of the wineries up here are small wineries, and which I think that's what's really great about it. You know, you're traveling around up here to the tasting rooms, and I would say the majority of the time you're talking to the owner or the winemaker in the tasting rooms, which is, you know, getting harder and harder to find these days. So we're pretty accessible up here. We still think it's cool when people show up. we're not going to charge you for parking.
Right. And tasting fees and the cost of the wine is also lower, which is nice. And there's plenty of room to grow up here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is what's really exciting right now. The vineyards have always led the way in Lake County, and they still are. I mean, the vineyard expansion that's currently happening is really impressive. And I think, you know, if you look at growth rates in the North Coast of vineyards, it's probably around 1% or 2%. But in Lake County, it's been 18% recently. Mm. And there's really basically within the North Coast nowhere else to go. So it's definitely, and I just think, you know, as the vineyards grow and people find unique little blocks they want to work with, the brands and, you know, labeled wines that say Lake County on them are going to just grow in number as well.
There's no doubt they will grow. As the price of land continues to rise in Napa and Sonoma County, more and more world-class wines will be coming from Lake County. Thanks to Matt Hughes of Brassfield Winery for chatting with me. If you're listening to this on iTunes or another podcast provider, you can learn more about my show at onthewineroad.com and on Facebook as well. I'm on Instagram under the name JD Wineroad and on Twitter at JD Wineroad. I'm Jeff Davis. Thanks for listening to today's podcast.